Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the... I almost forgot to cut the microphone on there. Oh, just sitting around here talking.
Almost forgot to plug mine on.
Yeah, well, I got to hear. Everybody's got to hear. So, good morning. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Now on our 41st year, or 81st, with Brother John there. He did 40. I've done 40. So not a bad deal, really. Not a bad record, I'd say. So we always kind of feel like John's with us. John Harris, the late professor emeritus at NC State University, who did this show from 1945 to 1985. We feel his spirit here.
Yep.
He's kind of always... Although well, I think he did one show in this building. The rest of them were downtown or in the old... in Durham Life Insurance.
Right. And when I think about him, I think about my dad, because he used to sit right next to the radio every Saturday morning and listen to the show.
And it was only 15 minutes.
Right.
It's just this show goes fast enough.
Yeah.
But imagine 15 minutes. And I did the show with him a few times, but it was kind of a blink of the eye type
thing. Well, I remember him saying, "Let me open up this envelope." Crunch,
yeah.
Crunch, crunch. So
yeah.
Somebody would send in some insect or some wildebeest.
Yeah, and we continue to get those for a good while. I mean, while through Irv's tenure and into Ann's. So we're thankful they still allow us to do this, such as it is. We're not sure what it is. It's supposed to be a gardening show, but it's kind of a hybrid.
Well, it spawns a...
And hybrids are very popular right now, so...
Right, yeah. Right.
It spawns a Hall of Famer.
Well,
right.
Named Mike Raley.
That helped. That helped, I think. But
I
I'm
think
so
it
proud.
Sure did.
I am so proud of this show and that accomplishment. I still don't know how it happened, but I check back every once in a while there's a website, the North Carolina Association of Broadcasters, and they have that list. It's only about 100 people, and started with first class. It was about 7 people, and Charlie Crutchfield, who was WBT in Charlotte forever down there. Through their history, and a guy named Edward R. Murrow,
yep,
and David Brinkley, and Billy Graham, and there were 2 or 3 more. I should know, but that's how it started.
By the way, the highest award in journalism is the Edward R. Murrow Award.
Yeah, I think that's just TV.
Yeah,
but we should. I don't know what category this show would fall under if we were to apply for something like that, and that's how it's done. It's just they don't just recognize you; you apply for these awards, and they have a panel of industry experts who go through a lot of programming and assess assess what you've done, whether it's in a category or not. And that's how you get these Peabody's. And Peabody is the highest radio award, as far as I know. But we have one here.
All right.
Yeah, in the building.
Charlie Gaddy?
You know, this was a Vietnam. It was a news deal, and it was about Vietnam veterans. So sometime in the 1980s, I believe. So, been a while, but it's that's very prestigious. But this station has got a lot of awards over the years, an incredible amount of awards since 1924. And I was reading something. I bought a book on eBay that was written by Carl Gerch. I did not know existed, and it's the history of Durham Life Insurance Company. They got Mr. Gerch. He was working for them as a broadcaster at the time. In the early 1960s, and the Durham Life Insurance Company bought the station that became WPTF for $5,000.
Wow! Whoa! That's a deal.
I know. So that's incredible history. It really is. I'm glad I know a fair amount about it. I don't know all that. I wish I knew more about the history of this place, because I was around so many people who had been here. I worked with people who had been here in the 20s, the late 20s.
Wow.
And 30s and on up into the 80s. And then Bob Royal, who worked here 60 years, started in the late 30s, left for war and came back, and he worked until the early 2000s. So I knew old Bob. Y'all knew old Bob Royal, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Had people tell me, we checked on the weekend guard to see if you're still alive.
See if you were still alive?
Yeah, so I'm reporting in today.
Well, and you look
alive and well.
Yeah, you look great.
Yeah.
Pink shirt and
white
all.
Right
pert, as they'd say back in Nash County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I hope our friend Dave Bolick is listening.
Our auditor.
Yeah, our auditor. And I was thinking, I saw last week both of the Harnett County representatives, former Representative Bob Etheridge and current Representative Howard Penny, they're both great listeners.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to report that I finally got it right with our dear friend Jeff Hamblin. For about three weeks, he had been trying to get me to do the 4:40 hour to talk about my new book.
And well, I told him to stop calling you to call Cheryl.
And I forgot it, and he finally called Cheryl,
yeah.
And we connected on Thursday.
Yeah, that's great. So that's the trick. Well, everything's got to go through Cheryl.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you say Cheryl?
Cheryl.
Cheryl. I have to give a shout-out to Farmer John, one of our listeners.
Yeah, from Fuquay.
Yeah, he sent me a red snapper tomato. And
that's Phil Campbell, by the way, Campbell Root Nursery.
Yeah,
I haven't introduced anybody,
okay.
But we, you know, these folks don't need introductions.
Right. I appreciate it. Anyway, he sent me red snapper tomato and told me to wait a couple or three days, and I did exactly that. Sat on my desk, and last week I cut it and made not a BLT because I wanted to get the full flavor of the red snapper. The red snapper tomato made a great tomato sandwich. It's the perfect size.
Yeah.
It's got just enough firmness that it's not, it didn't get sloppy and, you know, juicy. I did, It was just perfect.
Is that the new Cherokee Purple? I've heard a lot about Red Snapper in the last couple of years.
It might be, because I'll tell you this. It's going to be a really good tomato, not that I'm going to be shipping tomatoes, but it's going to be a good tomato to be able to ship, because it's got the firmness, but once you cut it, it's really good. It doesn't appear to have the firmness once it's cut. I don't know if that sounds right or not, but with the tomato itself, it was ripe, but it was not yucky soft or soft spots on it or anything like that. It was really good. So I really appreciate the fact that you, Farmer John, that you sent me a tomato. I appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Yeah.
And remembering me with your tomatoes.
Well, he's a Weekend Gardener listener, and they're
right.
only nice people.
Right.
Well, Phil, tell us again. Yeah. I have no luck in the seed business with tomatoes. Tell me how you go about it, because I cut open.
No, I think you probably need to tell Cheryl.
Yeah,
well, I just, she could tell you.
I cut open a Rufus tomato. They turned out very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
I laid me some paper towels, three thick, on a piece of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Big dipper full. I thought, okay, they'll dry, and I can pick out the seeds. I couldn't find any. I know there were seeds there. What am I doing wrong?
Well, excuse me. What I did with the Gladys tomato that we're saving is I took a couple of really ripe Gladys tomatoes, and I put them in a cup with just like they were. And
No water.
Not right then. I just put them in there and let them ripe, and I put a piece of cellophane over the top,
right.
like saran wrap. And I let them sit there a couple or 3 days.
Molded over.
Yeah, a little molded over. And then what I did was put some water in there.
Yeah.
And left them for probably 3 or 4 more days. So they were really like fermenting, okay?
Right.
If you take, I've heard and read that if you just take a tomato seed out of a tomato and try to save it, it might be okay, but it has a film on it. So sometimes that film prevents it, from sprouting correctly. But anyway, I did that. And what happens is once I took, Carlton's mom had one of these things that, what is it?
Calendar?
Like a colander. But it was a really fine whole colander that you used to make applesauce with, or that she made applesauce with.
Yeah.
And it, had a wooden, one of those wooden pieces that you kind of go around in the colander with.
Mm-hmm.
Did that, and then I took warm water and rinsed all the seeds and junk and strained the seeds, okay? And at that point, I started just getting the seeds out of the gook that was in the colander and working, just cleaning them.
Yeah, I saw your seeds. They're perfectly
yeah.
clean.
Yeah, and then I laid them out on a paper towel and let everything dry. And then they were fine. They looked great. There's some kind of sticky substance.
Yeah, and Gerald, I'm going to text Gerald because he told us last time he was on here, I think he's told us a couple of times,
yeah.
how to get that film off. He uses something. It's some kind of everyday product, I think.
You can probably use something, but I looked it up.
It was a detergent of some kind, as I recall.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll text him and see, or maybe he's listening. I don't know.
Yeah.
More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. Phil Campbell with us, Rufus Edmonston, yours truly, Mike Raley. It's 8:19. Back on WPTF, nice and calm and relaxed this morning. Don't y'all feel relaxed?
Yes.
Phil, you're not having to work or anything?
I know, it's great.
Rufus, you don't have clients after you?
Not on the weekend, but there'll be somebody. As usual. Yes.
But not here. They can't get
no,
to
they,
you
they,
here.
They can't get to me here unless
yeah.
they want to talk about gardening.
That's right.
You know what? I was looking here again at our good old buddy Cliff Joyner.
We'll go see him
yeah.
at the end of October.
Right. He's got a good one today. If you can choose one characteristic to get you through life, choose a sense of humor. How about
yeah,
that?
Boy, I'll tell you.
How about that? That's true.
Yeah, have a sense of humor and to be optimistic.
Yes.
Right.
Like sweet Melissa. She's, very few things bother her. Just kind of.
Yeah.
I think you have to be optimistic to even get up, and especially as we age, you have to be optimistic to even get out of bed and get going.
Yeah.
You just, it's kind of tough, when, especially the more you age.
And I think about retirement every morning at 3 o'clock, but I don't know how people do it. Unless they're doing another job or really, you know, start a new career, basically, whether it's out of their house or, you know, whatever.
Best way I know to dry up and die. People say to me, why are you still working?
Yeah.
Because I want to.
Well,
I want to stay relevant. I want people to say, well, I'm not going to throw him in the waste heap of old age.
Yeah, I just don't know how to, I wouldn't know how to do it.
In China, they used to treat the elderly with great respect and wisdom. And in America, because of this new pop culture and the internet and all that, it almost seems to me like that there's a movement afoot to say, okay, so-and-so's old, they're useless. Well, I found when Senator Urban was 80 years old, he was a lot brighter than some of the genius 22-year-olds I see today fumbling around on the internet.
Or then.
Anytime, yes.
Yeah, anytime, yeah, sure. Because he knew so much.
I think the governor of Iowa was on last night talking about, let's just settle down. Let's show some civility.
That sounds like a book
to be written.
Sounds
like something you're going to write a book about.
Yeah, it sounds to me like
it. When is your book going to be out?
Well, we want to have it done by the end of the year.
Oh, wow.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Well, that was a good segue, Rufus.
Yes.
I salute you, sir.
Yeah.
So, fall is upon us, and the trees are changing, but the trees are changing because it's been so darn dry.
You know, I noticed coming on the Beltline from the house over here, the poplar trees are all losing their leaves now.
They've been devastated. I've noticed a lot of the cherry trees.
Oh, they've already lost all their leaves.
Yeah. The dogwoods are starting to change color.
Yeah.
When I picked up Rufus, and that was an arduous task, I must say, picking up Rufus, but last week at his house.
Yeah, go through the compound.
Yeah.
Well, I know him physically. Just picking you up was very arduous.
Well, I don't weigh but 215 pounds, for God's sakes.
No, when I drove to Rufus through the estate there, I noticed that one of your
pecan?
Now I can't. No, not pecan. Your oak leaf hydrangeas was turning, the leaves were turning red.
Yep.
Yes, bronze.
Over there in the area where we have, where we eat barbecue for the parties.
Right.
Yeah. They're beautiful, beautiful foliage.
They are.
And the berries on the dogwood changed about a month early this year.
You know, the Coosa dogwoods have been extraordinary. People ask what that tree is.
They do so well.
Yeah, they're
really
a great tree.
Well.
They're a great tree, and
it's actually getting too warm here for a lot of the native dogwoods. They're suffering.
They've had diseases. I mean, Irv Evans was on the show back in the 80s, he was talking about anthracnose. That's when that anthracnose started cropping up in the mountains and started spreading.
Right.
And it's really tough. People have a lot of dogwoods planted right out in the full sun.
And yeah, but when they get, what happens is when they get stressed for some reason or another, any plant will do this. If it starts to get stressed, then any kind, like the disease hits.
Yeah.
Well,
that's true with us.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay, we've raced through a half hour of the WPTF Weekend Gardener. We'll talk to Richard coming up.
All right.
It's 833 919-860-9783. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. And is it Richard or Rob here, Joel? Richard's first, okay. Richard, good morning.
Morning from Moorhead City.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. How's everything in Moorhead? It's overcast down there, too, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Bands of rain, and although occasionally the Band of Oz does play here. Well, I had two items, and a garden book not to buy, and then a comment about the red snapper.
All right.
A garden book not to buy. Okay.
Yeah. Well, on the way to Moorhead, I like to stop by Ollie's. It's an interesting experiment in
Rufus loves Ollie's. I've been to Ollie's. They used to have, do they still have good, really good containers?
Big pots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not pot, but pods.
Yeah. Pots.
So in the book section, they had a book of How to Grow Marijuana.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to, I mean, you can still find those in the, you know, on this show, back when Irv was doing it, we had a question from Franklin County about growing marijuana. I don't remember what Irv said, but go ahead, Richard. I'm sorry.
That's all right. And so I started to look for the biography of Cheech and Chong. Suspecting they might be here somewhere, and then as I turned the aisle, there was a brand of tea called Stash. Well, you can only imagine the conversation of some high customer coming in there, buying a book on marijuana and then looking for a stash. Now, actually, the book was probably, if they had an RFID chip in it and looked at the cash register receipts, they could pretty well figure out who's doing what.
Oh, my.
But, and then on the way out, they had this little tiny aerosol, and it was called Stinkadoo. And so I thought, oh, I guess they're using this to cover up the smell of whatever they're trying to push in here.
I don't know. I hadn't heard of Stinkadoo. Do you have any of that?
No, Stinkadoo. Is that Bear Grylls?
Your visit to Ollie's was interesting, wasn't it, Richard?
Yeah, you never know what you're going to find in there.
And there were a couple of folks behind me, I told them, that's the first thing time in years since high school I've heard that allusion. In high school, they referred to one of the students as Monkey Doo. And so I asked one of the other students, why do they call him Monkey Doo? And they said, because he do like a monkey. So, 50 years later in Ollie's, God.
How about that?
So anyway, on the red snapper tomatoes, mm-hmm. During my wet, those and the sun golds were the last survivors in the yard.
All right, then. That sounds great.
And the great virtue of the red snappers is they've got incredible disease resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go see Gerald in the spring, I've been asking for the top disease resistant, and that was on the list. So I've got a pretty good spectrum between the tomatoes people like for slicers and the ones for flavors. And I want to make another comment while I'm at it on Mexico midgets. Now, obviously, from the book Epic Tomatoes, Craig really loves his wife because in the book, he says if he doesn't grow Mexico midgets every year, his wife will put them in the doghouse. That's a measure of true love because it's a very robust and aggressive plant. Gets everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet so.
It's really dense.
Yeah, very very popular.
Well,
small tomato.
I'll tell you one that I just grew, and at the end of the season. Actually, I mean, way into the season. In fact, it's still full of tomatoes. It's called Coyote. Have you had that one?
No, I haven't.
It's a little tiny, tiny marble size.
Yeah,
yellow.
We must
tomato.
Have that because they're still.
And it is so good.
Well, this one's bright red. but it's tiny.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. But this one, it tastes just like you're eating candy.
Yeah.
And it's the best tomato I've ever had for just to pull off like
it's
that.
It's the kind of thing that you can get a bowl and mm-hmm. put some in and just use them as a snack.
Yeah, or take a little plastic bag and walk around the nursery with it. And
you may not like tomatoes, but a lot of people like these tiny tomatoes.
Because these don't have, I don't know, it's just
they're not as acidic.
Exactly. They're really good. Yeah. So you have to try some. I'm going to grow some coyotes next year. So you'll have to try some of those, Richard.
Okay.
Rick, well, you ought to try to talk Phil out of getting some seeds of Cousin Gladys. That is the seed that came from my late cousin in Johnson City, and it's wonderful.
We'll have to market that somehow. A big production of it. Richard, thank you, my friend. Enjoy yourself down in Morehead City. Always great hearing from you.
Oh, and in all things coyote, be careful when the Acme boxes show up in the yard.
Okay. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. Back on WPTF for the Weekend Gardener, 8:43. Phil just walked out. Was she calling Lane about a banana pudding tree? It's magnolia that's in her landscape that is blooming. I thought they bloomed in the spring. You don't have one?
I had one, and it always bloomed in the spring, yes.
Yeah, but hers is blooming right now, so it must be a rebloomer, or it could be just stress.
Crazy weather.
Because of the dryness. Because it has been very dry. All right. Elliot is – no, Rob is next. Rob, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Morning. Mike, I got to tell you something. I'm looking at the Weekend Gardener online.
Yeah, Rob.
And it's I'm on it. I went to issuu.com, Weekend Gardener.
Uh-huh.
You can turn the pages. Man. I was a trade magazine editor, four color. This thing is beautiful, and you write a bunch of stuff in these things. I can't believe I'm speechless.
Well, a couple of years ago, Mr. Curtis asked me to write. He had a special project, and he asked me if I'd write a garden column each week, and they turned into 500 to 1,000 word articles, and I've been diligent. I've done it every. Mr. Curtis tells me to do something, I do it. I've written close to a couple of hundred, I guess, now in the last 2 years. I don't know if they're worth a hoot, but I
four or five things, didn't you? Or more.
Yeah. They certainly use them. But Carolyn Carver, who is our general manager, has not only radio experience, but she also magazine experience, and she is she does a unbelievable job.
Well, the magazine is spectacular.
And it's done in-house. It's done in-house, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
The reason I called you...
Thank you very much for that.
Oh, you're welcome. That is just beautiful, I'm telling you. And I saw Rufus on the cover of the other one.
Yeah, that spring one, boy, I'll tell you, it jumped out the colors.
You look good, Rufus. You do.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah, Rufus and I, and that was the kind of the 40th anniversary issue, the spring issue, and Rufus and I think both looked hungover.
Well, now, you speak for yourself on that.
You did look like you were holding somebody up.
We were holding each other. We were holding each other up.
Was that the time that fellow drove up with that beautiful old car?
No. This was just this spring out at Campbell Road. It had a beautiful backdrop that Phil, Phil had the party out there.
Yeah.
Rob, you should have been there.
Where did you take the one for the summer of 2025, the cover picture?
Summer. I'm not sure.
It's a White House, and it's got a winding stone walkway.
I don't know. Carolyn or Chip Winstead, who's in sales, he's retired partly now, but he still sells some, and he has a lot to do with the magazine, too. Maybe he's listening, and he can tell us, but I'm not sure. I just kind of write. I do the show, which it's based off of, basically, and I write articles.
Yeah, I say, cute little cottage, Rob,
Yeah.
With the winding pathway and
yes.
flagstone path.
Yeah.
I don't know where that was.
I don't know. It was beautiful. Well, the reason I called you was I worked in Columbia, South Carolina. I came back up through Camden and Rockingham. And I saw these, they looked like corn plants, but they were like 3 meters tall. And they're in clusters.
That's a ginger lily?
Sounds like a ginger lily to me.
Yeah.
Well, the leaves were long and straight.
That's ginger lily.
They have. Now, Rufus has several, and most of them that you see have white blooms that smell like honeysuckle to me. But Rufus has a kind of a bright
salmon,
orange one.
Salmon,
yeah,
orange.
Orangey, yeah. Salmon one, and you have one from Hawaii that...
It's
that
blue.
You have to take in and out of the
yeah.
house, and it is blue blooms on it.
Well, these were in clusters like you'd see bamboo.
Uh-huh.
At first, I thought it was bamboo, but the leaves were straight and about 2 feet long.
Yep.
Could it have been sugar cane?
No, I think you're talking about the ginger lily.
Ginger, that's what it sounds like.
Well,
I mean, was it in somebody's yard?
They were on US 1 between Camden, South Carolina.
Oh.
It was a patch. And then as you got into North Carolina, there was another big patch.
That might have been sorghum. That was probably...
No, it's 3 meters tall.
So when you say meters, tell us how many feet you're talking about.
Don't make me do the math. About 12 feet.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, no. That,
sorghum doesn't grow that tall.
Sorghum is about 3 or 4
sounds
feet.
Sounds like ginger lily.
Well...
Are they that tall? And they got...
My gingers, the orange ones are almost probably about 9 to 10 feet tall.
Yeah, if they get plenty of sun.
Yep.
But it's unusual just to see them out in the wild.
They were growing in the both were growing in dense clusters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, they do that because they spread.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
There's a white, and then there's an orange. There's an orange that I've got called Disney. I don't have it for sale, but it's in my yard.
Well, I got mine from you. I don't know where you got it.
Yeah.
Rufus, that's not your house. I'm looking at the cover of the summer
that
magazine.
Almost
that's not your house, is
that
it?
That almost looks like my little La Petite Maison Blanche.
Yeah.
Oh.
Amen. But it's not. That's gorgeous,
no,
yeah. I mean, I don't know where they got this.
I want my little house I'm building, Rob, to put my junk in to look like that house.
What did you add on? Have you already added on to it?
Don't tell the inspection people. I haven't added on yet.
And then you could go get one of those little petite, like Volkswagen vans, you know, that they're making now. That
oh,
are,
yeah.
Yeah.
On Highway 70, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That'd be perfect.
That sure would.
Well, I appreciate you guys. I really do.
Rob, thanks so much, and thanks for the compliment. I don't know. Maybe we can find out if this is kind of a stock photo. This may be a stock photo.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. But it is pretty.
It's beautiful.
I know. I'm sitting here looking at it.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I really do.
Oh, thank you, Rob. When is your new book coming out?
In November.
November. Do you have a title yet? Or?
Yes, Food Chain Again.
I'm ready to be scared stiff.
That sounds...
the third one's written, and it'll be out in March, and I'm working on number four. And the number four one, I'm is when you and I talked about.
Well, I don't know how you have time to end up in South Carolina and all over the place. You're all over the place. You were telling me somewhere to take my wife up in Virginia. That was up north of Mount Airy, somewhere up in Virginia, north of Mount Airy, that you were telling me that I ought to take Melissa.
Well, there are two places, but the one is this one's off of a. You have to go to Bluefield, and then you go south of Bluefield to Claypool.
Okay. So it's more West Virginia than Virginia.
Well, you go into West Virginia, and you come out of West Virginia into out of Southwest Virginia, and then you're in Claypool and Richlands.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, I love it up there. It's quite the Virginia mountains are quite different from the North Carolina mountains. There's a lot of pasture land. That's where first learned about cows that have shorter legs on one side.
Uh-huh.
That's what Melissa was telling me. We were riding through Virginia one time. I said, no kidding.
I know all about them.
Yeah, Rufus, you raised them, didn't you?
Pretty hard when you go to milk and you got used to hands up with the, you know, what's on one side and the other on the short side.
Rufus, did you grow up near Christiansburg?
No, I'm outside of Boone.
Oh, okay, because I thought you had some kind of link to Christiansburg.
No, he's the only 1959 Appalachian High School member still alive.
Last weekend, Rob, I was headed to my class reunion, and I got about halfway and decided, well, I better check on it. Nobody showed up. I turned around and came back, and I said, well, this must be the last stand. It's sort of like the lost colonies have been a mystery all these years, and so the lost class of 1963.
And I know you were disappointed, but Fatleg,
he wanted to go to the Daniel Boone Inn.
This is a former FBI agent.
Did the invitation come in a self-addressed stamped envelope?
Signed to the Arthur Godfrey Show. Yeah, it's extraordinary. Rufus is the last member of the class of 1959.
That can't be.
Well, we don't really know the whole story.
We've got to get an investigator on this, Rufus.
They were probably all at North Myrtle Beach. They just
maybe so. Rob, thank you, buddy.
I appreciate you guys. Bye.
Bye. All right, Elliot is with us. Elliot, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen.
Thank you very much for waiting.
When I heard the discussion about the tomato seeds,
yeah,
I consulted my good AI friend, Gemini.
Uh-huh.
Interesting comments that I'm reading there. You start with a very ripe tomato and scoop out the seeds and surrounding gel pulp into a non-metal container like a jar or a bowl. You add a little warm water, enough to make the mixture somewhat liquid.
Right.
You cover the container with cheesecloth or a paper towel secured with a rubber band to allow air in but keep flies out. You place it in a warm spot out of direct sunlight for 2 to 4 days. The mixture will then ferment, and a layer of mold or scum will form on the top. Bubbles may also arise. You stir the mixture once or twice a day. The viable seeds will typically sink to the bottom. Then you rinse the mold layer and off. The seeds will have sunk to the bottom. Skim off the mold and floating pulp. Pour the remaining liquid and seeds into a fine mesh strainer. Rinse the seeds thoroughly under warm running water, gently removing them to remove any remaining gel or pulp. Spread the clean seeds in a single layer on a non-stick surface, such as a ceramic plate, glass coffee filter, or parchment paper. Do not use paper towels.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. I did. I used parchment for my final one. I just remembered that a minute ago.
Seems like a arduous task.
It is.
I think I'd just rather depend on buy some next year.
Sorry, Elliot. I didn't mean to
interrupt.
You can't
buy a Cousin Gladys.
Finally, you place them in a warm, dry spot out of direct sunlight for 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
The seeds must be completely dry and brittle before storing or planting. So, anyway.
Well, I appreciate
you
going through that. I hope everybody got that. I've got to get in touch with Gerald to find out his elixir. He's got some kind of elixir that he puts on those
Gemini
seeds.
Gerald.
Yeah.
The stirring, I that was one that I didn't use. Maybe that's my problem. I didn't stir them.
Have you got a big copper kettle?
No, I had it in a little dental sweet snuff plain glass.
Where'd you get a snuff can?
Saved
tan?
It from my grandmother, who used to have dental sweet snuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Glass jar.
Elliot, we appreciate it, buddy.
Mr. Barrister, I have one bit of advice for you. I know how many celebratory functions you must attend. And I know that you're exposed to some fine wines from time to time. And I've heard of the best way to appreciate and enjoy an exquisite bottle of wine. You, first of all, you remove the cork.
Wait a second, Elliot. They're telling me we got a break, and we'll have to break, and we'll be right back here on WPTF.
Yeah,